Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It is May 7th, 2012, and people are asking, if you're opposing Mitt Romney for president, then who are we going to vote for? Who are we going to vote for? And it turns out that if you fear Obama, you'll vote for Romney, but if you fear God, you won't. If you fear God, you will not. A lot of these so-called moderate Republicans are actually one-issue voters. They're the ones who are one-issue voters. It's just partisan politics. And it turns out that we think that Romney is Obama-lite. No, Obama is Romney-lite. Obama has done not nearly as bad for the country as Mitt Romney did as governor of the state of Massachusetts for his people. So who are we going to vote for? Well, here in Colorado, I tell you who I'm going to vote for, who I want to vote for, is America's Party candidate for president 2012. It's Tom Hoefling. Tom, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, it's great to be here, Bob. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, great to have you back on. But Tom Hoefling, this is the first time I'm interviewing you as a candidate for president.
This is the first time you're interviewing me as a candidate for anything, Bob.
That's right. So, Tom, could you tell us why you are running for president and what your beliefs are, what your platform is? Why do this? Why not conservatives and pro-lifers hold their nose and vote for Romney? Why not?
Boy, there's a lot of questions there, Bob.
Yeah.
So let me start with the last one. Why not vote for Romney? Well, he's the most liberal governor in the history of the United States. Mm. So when you're presented with a choice between the most liberal alleged president in history and the most liberal governor in history, if you're a Christian, you say, no, thank you, we will have neither of those.
Mm.
Now, most of last year, Bob, you know, our party only started 4 years ago. As some of your listeners may recall, our first presidential nominee was our mutual friend, Dr. Alan Keyes.
Dr. Keyes, amen. He was on the ballot in Colorado with Brian Rohrbaugh, Columbine dad, and I voted for the Keyes-Rohrbaugh ticket.
Well, we put him late on the ballot in 2008 because there was no way that we were going to support John Judas McCain, a man who had spent decades opposing everything that we stand for. We've had 4 years to build, and, you know, most of last year we were keeping our nose to the grindstone. Our main project is finding every principled Christian patriot around the country who still believes the principles of the Declaration of Independence and organize them into a long-term foundation for doing this work. But as it's become more and more apparent that the Republican Party, you know, what I've told people, Bob, is John McCain was a bridge too far for us. Mitt Romney is a plunge into the political abyss for the Republican Party.
Well, back 4 years ago when they told me don't throw away your vote, so I said, well, if I don't want to throw away my vote, I'd have to vote for Barack Obama because he's going to win in a virtual landslide. So what do you mean? Are you going to vote for Obama? And they'd say, no, you're going to vote for McCain? You're going to throw away your vote. At least I'm voting for principle to tell the Republican Party that they cannot take Christians for granted, because if they know they can, then we are going to get child killers and socialists and government health care reform, individual mandate. That's what we're going to get, and that's what we got.
look, I am so sick, as I know you are, of political bookmaking, okay? We're not supposed to be political bookmakers. We're supposed to be Christians. Mm. We're supposed to do what is right and leave the results to God.
Wow, do right and risk the consequences.
Right, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I get pastors even who tell me, oh, you can't win. I say, look, you know, you have no chance. Look, Christianity had no chance when there were 12 guys hiding in a back room. Okay?
Wow. Wow, and how about Gideon? Did Gideon have a chance? And how about Daniel, when Daniel was in an empire where the king said, if you pray to any other god but my God, you'll be executed. And Daniel opened the windows, and he prayed to the God of Abraham. And so Daniel didn't take the political climate into account. He merely obeyed God, and because of that, he's in the Bible. And the compromisers are not.
Well, or if they are, they're not exactly painted in a very positive light.
Well, right. That's a more accurate statement. Like David against Goliath. Right.
Here's what I tell these folks now, Bob. I say, look, I'll tell you what. I'll be more than happy to talk to you about the odds. Look, I've been doing campaigns at every level in this country, all over this country, for more than two decades. I know what's going on politically, okay? I'll be more than happy to talk about the odds. But before we do that, let's talk about what is right and what is wrong, okay? Mm. I've been an advocate, as you know, Bob, and you can vouch for me, for a very long time, for pro-life, for the equal protection of our posterity.
Absolutely.
For the defense of the natural family and natural God-given institution of marriage, for private property rights, for secure borders, for a peace through strength foreign policy, and on and on. I've been out there in the trenches fighting for two decades.
Right. Okay? Tom, for all the years that Personhood Now has been growing, you have been absolutely not only a supporter, a defender, a leader, that we need to fight to uphold the God-given right to life of every child without exceptions, without regulating child killing. Simply declare, affirm, fight for the right to life of each child. And you have lived for that, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, I want to thank you as well, because you've certainly been a leader, and you've been someone who's taught me over the years as well. You know, we've taken a rather revolutionary approach to the pro-life movement, Bob, and if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about that for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, I want every pro-life vote in Colorado. Our folks in Colorado are putting us on the ballot there this week. So in a sense, this conversation is the launch of the general election campaign in Colorado for the hopefully Ellis ticket. But I want every pro-life vote in Colorado, and I think I deserve it. Hmm. Because I don't think there's anybody else in this race, and I do not believe there will be anybody else on the ballot for president who truly stands for pro-life. Hmm. So if folks will go to EqualProtectionForPosterity.com, EqualProtectionForPosterity.com. There's a resolution there. Now, it's also the heart of the America's Party platform, and it's also the core of our America's Party leadership pledge, which any leader in our party at any level, any candidate for any office that we endorse has to sign onto this document. And to boil it down to what it says is little children are persons from the moment they're created, okay? And our Constitution guarantees their equal protection. Our Constitution says no person shall be deprived of life without due process. So, that being the case, and it also being the case that every officer of government in this country, at every level, in every branch, raises their right hand and swears to God to support that Constitution, it's our assertion that every officer has the core responsibility. Their first responsibility is to protect the people, all of them. Mm.
Well, Tom, at your site here, EqualProtectionForPosterity.com, there is a story about a dad who rescued his brain-dead son. The doctor said the son was brain-dead. He rescued them from the doctors who wanted to harvest his son's organs, and now this boy has recovered completely.
It's amazing. You know, you may recall, I know you recall, an individual, a person by the name of Terry Schindler Schiavo.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I put my boots on the ground down there in Pinellas Park. I went down there to help the Schindler family deal with the jackals and the press.
And thank you, Tom Hofeling, for doing that. By the way, Denver Bible Church, we had three or four of our members go down there, Doug McBurney, Leslie Hanks, Carl Henderson, and others, to fight, to try to protect Terry Schiavo from being starved to death. And it was all Republican judges, by the way, all the way from the George Greer, the county judge, all the way up through the circuit court that was almost all Republicans, from Reagan Bush and George W. Bush, all the way to the Supreme Court, right on up, the Republican judges said, go ahead and kill her, right on up.
Yeah, I want to use what happened with her as an example of how important this Equal Protection for Posterity resolution is. Because as you say, Judge Greer, he was what I like to call a local elected tin pot probate judge. He was part of the Bush machine down there, and he issued a literal death warrant for an innocent woman. Mm. Now, on the face of it, that's grossly immoral, barbaric. It's also completely unconstitutional, both in terms of the Florida Constitution and the U.S. Constitution.
To starve her to death.
Through an unusual means, by the way, a violation of the Eighth Amendment.
It's not wrong to let a dying person die. Terry Schiavo, Terry Schindler Schiavo, was not dying. She was killed. Doug McBurney was picked up by the police for trying to bring a cup of water to Terry. He literally took a cup of water and fought to get into that clinic, to get in there to give her a cup of water, and they hauled him off.
I'll never forget that place, Bob. Other than some bad incidents in my life, you know, I lost a couple children years ago, and I've had some tragedies in my life.
Yeah.
But the most tragic episode of my life was standing outside of that killing center, is what it had become. Mm. And, you know, beautifully landscaped place, beautiful 8-foot-tall fountain of water out in the front of the front doors with Old Glory flying on a flagpole right next to it. That image and watching Terry's family come out of those doors multiple times a day, looking like they'd just been into a war zone, which they had, and just that picture is locked into my mind. Mm. But this is how important it is that every officer of government in this country be required to follow their sworn oath. I went eyeball to eyeball with the police officers on the scene down there. By the way, they were hirelings. Mm. They had been hired to help stand guard at a judicial murder. But I went eyeball to eyeball with several of them. I was on the right side of the line, so I wouldn't get arrested. Mm. But I stood right there, and I told them they were in gross violation of their oath, that their job was to protect and serve, not to stand guard at a judicial murder. And I never saw so much hatred in anybody's eyes in my life. I really thought they were going to come across the line and arrest me just for speaking, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an obligation. The courts in Florida had an obligation to immediately step in and rein in this out-of-control judge. The Attorney General, Charlie Crist, he was hiding under his desk the whole time. The governor, Jeb Bush, he was in front of the camera saying, oh, I just wish I could save her. I wish somebody could show me how I could save her. Our friend Alan Keyes was camped down on his doorstep in Tallahassee with a brilliantly drafted brief that not only showed how he could, but why he must.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They left Alan Keyes sit on the doorstep because Jeb Bush was too busy having press conferences with Jesse Jackson, okay?
Right.
Now, having said all of that, I've read the Florida Constitution. It forbids the killing of innocent people, including the disabled. It explicitly does. Article 1, Section 2. Go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the officers of government in Florida failed in their most important obligation, the federal courts should have stepped in. They fell down.
The federal courts, and they did. And it turns out, we document this and focus on the strategy too. It was the Bush, and I'm not exaggerating, it was the Ronald Reagan, George Bush, George W. Bush federal judges who ruled that Terry Schiavo could be killed. We had our day in court.
Yeah. Last but not least, Jeb Bush's brother, sitting in the White House, he swore an oath
right.
to protect innocent life. And guess what? he could have sent federal marshals down there and gotten her out of there.
They could have. They could have subpoenaed Terri Schiavo as a witness.
Well, Congress could have done that.
Congress could have done it. They could have taken so many avenues to protect her. Bobby Schindler came on this show, Bob and Yurt Live. We did a debrief, Tom. In fact, it's one of the most important resources we've ever offered. It's on a CD, an MP3 CD, called the Terri Schindler Schiavo Debrief. And we talked about the crisis of what went wrong in the battle to save his sister's life. National Right to Life introduced the most despicable law imaginable. It was an effort to legalize euthanizing people as long as they have a written directive. It was called the Incapacitated Persons Legal Protection Act. And here's National Right to Life saying this would be for the first time ever that federal law acknowledged a right to commit euthanasia. It said if you have a written directive, you could be killed. But since Terri didn't have a written directive, then to save one person, they were going to codify in federal law a euthanasia statute. That's how corrupt and immoral they were. And I talked about this with Bobby Schindler and so many at the time. We had Dennis Prager, Michael Medved, and Hugh Hewitt all on the same program on Salem Radio saying, you know what? If we have a written directive, we should legalize euthanasia. And they said, if you're a quadriplegic, you should be able to kill yourself. And they asked, I remember Hewitt asked Medved, well, what if you're a paraplegic? And they said, you know, we're thinking through this on our feet here, but it should be legal. Euthanasia should be legal. And that's the supposed conservative Salem Radio pro-life network.
Can I segue this into the situation vis-a-vis Mitt Romney?
Yes.
Because we all know that Mitt Romney is known as a flip-flopper, right?
Huh. Olympic double twist, the whole thing,
okay.
Gold medal.
Well, that's all true, but on the other hand, there are certain things he's been very consistent about,
oh,
Bob.
Yeah.
Number one, he has always been and remains completely a judicial supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the practice of so-called gay marriage is in place in Massachusetts because Mitt Romney did it.
Mitt Romney instituted it, right.
He instituted it. He didn't. No judge made him do it. Did it. He owns it. Okay. And if you go back and read all the hardcore left-wing things he said in 2002 and when he tried to run to the left of Teddy Kennedy, you read all those things. Hardcore, pro-abortion, pro-choice. And I'm using that phrase. I don't use it much,
yeah,
but I'm
right.
Using it specifically. Pro-choice. He is a pro-choice Democrat. He remains that to this day. If you go on his website right now and you look at his pro-life statement, now it's wrapped in one layer of lies, but if you just peel away that one layer, you'll see. He opens up with one sentence that says, Mitt Romney is pro-life. The big lie.
Right.
Okay, and then he starts basically laying out the fact that, first of all, he favors the status quo, which is abortion on demand, because he's a judicial supremacist. He says, until the courts do something, nothing can be done. Which means, on a practical basis, there's no difference between all of these Republicans that have been running this year and Barack Obama. Abortion on demand is the de facto default position.
Well,
they
Tom,
don't care about their oath. It's up to the judges, you see.
Yeah. Tom, we're told that, well, you got to vote for the Republicans so we get good judges. Mitt Romney creates activist judges on steroids. Mitt Romney takes restrained rulings from liberal judges, and he pretends that they are de facto law, and he implements them. And he's done this repeatedly with homosexual marriage and tax-funded abortion on demand. He takes restrained rulings and restrained legislation, and he pretends that it was liberal activist judges on steroids, and that's what he implements.
Well, you know, that's always been the ploy they've used on pro-lifers, threatening us over judges. But as you know, in the first place, well, I always ask these people, I say, the first question I ask them is, name me one conservative that he picked for the courts in Massachusetts. Just one.
Doug Melman. Oh, wait. He was a liberal Democrat pro-abort.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, they can't come up with a name because, you know what, there ain't one.
No,
and
right.
The fact is, not only were his picks not conservative, the majority of them were not even Republicans, okay, and several of them, were, in fact, were radical gay activists, as you just pointed out.
Right.
So there's that. The other thing is, Bob, you still have that $10,000 check made out to National Right for Life offering
That's right.
To them if they could prove there's one pro-life judge on the Supreme Court, right?
If there's one pro-life judge on the Supreme Court, American Right to Life will give $10,000 to National Right to Life. Because they say we just need one more judge. Well, that would mean we have four.
Now, the thing about it is, not only is there not a single pro-life judge on the court now, not one that recognizes the personhood of the child and their protection by the 14th Amendment, like the Reagan plank in the GOP platform has called for 28 years. Not only is there not one. In fact, Judge Scalia, who's known as one of the most conservative justices, his position is identical to Mitt Romney's. He says, okay, it's up to the courts, but beyond that, this should be left to a vote of the people.
Right.
So unalienable rights now are subject to the will of men.
Right.
Okay?
So should we do that with lynching blacks or... the Holocaust, killing Jews? Should we say it's up to the people whether or not you want to kill Jewish children? That's up to the people. It's a God-given right.
Then the final point, of course, is they're pro-choice for states. They think states can alienate God-given unalienable rights if they want to.
Right. And that disease came from Ron Paul in its modern iteration, that any issue that's uncomfortable, the politician can pass the buck and say it's a state's rights. Oh, killing kids, raping women, slavery, what? It's all state's rights?
Yeah, my wife and I have done some intense study of that question. In fact, the modern author of that was Gerald R. Ford and his hacks. It was crafted to make sure that they never had to do anything to stop the Holocaust.
Mm.
And there's one other point I want to make.
Yeah.
As you know, Bob, in Roe, Judge Blackmun, at its core, you know, people say, oh, Roe is about privacy or this or that. No. At its core, Roe is about the humanity of the child. Is this or not a human being?
Right.
And Blackmun specifically, in the written majority opinion itself, says, if this is a person, of course they're protected by the explicit provisions of the Constitution.
Right.
Okay. But Mitt Romney is worse than Judge Blackmun. And frankly, so is Ron Paul,
right.
So is Sarah Palin,
yes.
So is John McCain, because right there on Romney's site right now, he leads off that big paragraph with, Mitt Romney believes life begins at conception.
So they're worse than Blackmun and the Roe v. Wade decision because they're saying this is a human life, but we think you could kill them.
Well, and you know, as you know, Bob, this whole cast of characters in the Republican process this year signed off on fetal pain bills, which are immoral and
immoral
ungodly.
And a contradiction to personhood.
Well, and not only that, an explicit, clear violation of the Constitution.
Tom, do you realize you mentioned Blackmun? He was not a Democratic judge. He's a Republican judge. Roe v. Wade was written by a Republican judge, and it was passed by a Republican majority on a Republican U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, so people have been being fooled, Bob. And look, I'm just tired of it all. What we're saying, we've changed our stance completely. We're no longer begging. We don't want a seat at their table. Okay? We don't.
But
look, the American table is our table. Okay? I do not need to beg anyone for my seat at it. Thank you very much.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so we've changed our stance. We are no longer, oh, will you pretty please quit killing babies?
Right.
Or whatever. No, we're saying, look, and that's what that resolution is all about. Look, we're saying, no, you must. It is imperative. Genesis chapter 9, where God spelled out to all mankind that if you shed innocent blood, by men shall your blood be shed. That was the executive grant of authority by God to the people as a body, okay? It's never been revised. It's never been taken back.
Right. That's the prevailing legal authority. You cannot shed innocent blood.
It is imperative. It's not optional.
Right.
The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit murder. Romans 13, where it spells out why men are given the power of the sword. It's to punish evildoers.
Right.
Okay. Then the Declaration of Independence, which states the natural law. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. It goes on to say, this is why we have government in the first place, is to protect those rights, starting with the right to life. Mm. There's no exceptions to that, and it's never been changed. Okay, the preamble of the United States Constitution lays out the general purposes of the U.S. Constitution. Abortion and euthanasia violate every single clause, including the final one, which is to secure the blessings of liberty to our posterity. Mm. Okay? The Fifth Amendment says no person shall be deprived of life without a fair trial.
What's that? Right.
The Eighth Amendment says no cruel and unusual punishment. Mm. It seems pretty cruel and unusual to me to dump saline solution all over a helpless person's body and kill them.
To burn a child or rip his arms and legs off, as Planned Parenthood does every day. Tom, we only have another moment, so your website, TomHoefling.com, is that the best way to get to your Hoefling for President 2012?
Yes, TomHoefling.com, but even more importantly, selfgovernment.us is the party site. Please start reading at the About page, selfgovernment.us.
Selfgovernment.us. Hey, Tom, the Republican machine, they say that really it's the independents who determine elections. That's why we can't cater to pro-lifers or pro-marriage Christians, because we need the independents to win. Well, they're giving us the recipe. We have to become independents.
Well, we have been now for 4 years. All of our people in all 50 states, we are independent conservatives.
Exactly, because they're telling us that it's the independents who get what they want. They decide elections. So we need to be the independents so they cannot take Christians for granted, because when they do, children are killed and marriage is destroyed and socialism and government health care reform gets implemented, and then we want that guy to be the president. That's how broken the Republican Party is.
Bob, we have the keys to fixing this, okay? I wish we had more time today, because I would like to share some more of those keys with your people.
Tom, do more. This is what an honor that you've announced on this show that you'll be on the ballot in Colorado. And you got my vote, Tom Hoefling. And by the way, Greg Jackson has also endorsed you for president.
So is Chaplain Klingenschmitt.
Chaps, he's just the greatest. All right, thank you so much, Tom.
All right, you too, Bob.
May God bless you. Tom Hoefling, America's Party. Hey, our website is kgov.com. Check it out and check the store.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Benyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator, and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.